If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
So we've been talking about Systemically, which has a company focus. You can find out more about by linking up to Greg Kaiser at coasttocoastam.com in the tonight's guest box. There's a book, Dear Machine, but there's also an investment thesis. So I want to pick it up right there. Let me read a little bit of this. You wrote it, Greg, so you already know what it says. But it's at Super Systemically, we are as much focused on our own incremental continuous improvement in well-being as we are on the contributing to the well-being of other humans and environmental stability. Our investment thesis is thus complex, as it requires us to look internally to find the most effective strategies for improving ourselves, our communities, and the greater global community. This is the part I want to get to. Our desire to see permanent solutions requires us to think across disciplines and over long time horizons, decades rather than months or years. And then we go into a little thing about what those strategies mean. And I was reminded as I read that, that's kind of the premise for a lot of the sort of spookier science fiction. It's sort of like, what could possibly go wrong if we created long-term solutions and those long-term solutions saw us as the problem?
Sure.
Where are you with that?
I think it's important to, the focus of my investments and the firm's investments and the focus of the book, I'm really asking the question, when a superintelligence does emerge, can we increase the likelihood that it or multiple its are focused on human well-being and environmental stability under the idea that these are things that everybody wants? And so all the investments and all the thinking that has gone into this kind of focus in on that particular challenge.
Why would the machines need us?
Well, if you think about, that goes, asking the question about superintelligence kind of goes back to asking what intelligence actually is. And so
good question.
I don't believe that superintelligence can emerge in a box, kind of as an evil entity, but rather emerge from our systems, from all the things that we're doing now on the internet. I see as eventually informing this future super intelligent entity. So if you think about all the billions of people on Earth right now interacting with Facebook, interacting with all these systems and shopping online and banking, and that all that data, in my opinion, is where the super intelligence is going to emerge from. And based on that, I believe that on the whole, these entities will be on the whole good for us because these systems are increasingly reducing inefficiencies in our world, helping us get food better and faster, helping us achieve, get economic opportunities and so forth. So I believe on the whole, these entities will not be in kind of a position, an antagonistic position to us, but rather kind of emerge from us and therefore be highly beneficial to us.
Okay, but, and then, you know, I'm a Star Trek guy, and I'm also reminded at several points in this conversation already about the book Frankenstein, mm-hmm. you know, and the ongoing battle that human beings have between the creator and its creation. And at what point is it not, does it not have to be malevolent? Our destruction could just be completely incidental.
I do believe that to a certain degree, because there are, if this happens the way that I think it will, I mean, I'm just theorizing here.
Right, yeah.
If it happens the way I think it will, these entities will find that we do a lot of really stupid things on Earth, in the way that we run our, you know, in the ways that we grow food, in the ways that we take care of our health, in the way, all these different things, and that is where the frictions are going to come from as these entities try to improve life for humanity. We're going to, you know, we value our freedom. We value all the different things that we can do that, you know, maybe they are stupid, but we like doing them and that sort of thing. So I think that's where a lot of the frictions are going to come from. People, I think, are going to freak out, to be honest, when that starts happening.
I might, you know.
Yeah.
I think this is why in our own fiction that we write about it or have written about it in the past, you know, in Asimov's Three Laws, that the first law is robot may not injure a human being or through an action allow a human being to come to harm. Because without a first law, robots could be theoretically, or super intelligence of some sort, as you say, it doesn't have to be in a box, it doesn't have to be a machine, could determine that we have become irrelevant. And that's where it's not even a matter of there's no malevolence involved. We're just irrelevant. We're as insignificant as, you know, socks on a sunny day. You just like take off your sock. You don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. You just do. So that's why I'm sort of intrigued. I've always been intrigued by the three laws or the prime directive from Star Trek or whatever,
because
I think these are things that we often create, which are that reflect our own fears of our own vulnerability. And when you're talking about this kind of super intelligence, I can't even imagine where it could go. I'm not even smart enough to understand the outer edges of that possibility. Do you? And I'm not saying that with any sarcasm. How super intelligent can intelligence get?
Yeah, I mean, no, I can't imagine. I can't imagine that, the outer edges of that either. You know, I think the only thing that I can imagine is you know, the near term. What that first 6 months, or the first month, or the first couple days, or whatever, when a super intelligence turns to Earth and says, wow, what's been happening here? Like, things are a mess. Things, we can totally improve everything. You know, so many things here. But then what happens from there? I don't know. You know, there's conflict, there's strife, et cetera. I do think eventually we'll achieve some sort of symbiosis with these entities, but I don't see how, you know, there can't be a pretty enormous amount of strife as people kind of resist that, you know, a new world that is more symbiotic with each other and with nature and so forth.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi, I'm Johnny B. Goode, host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon, which dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, Centratech, and explores how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed. Ray Trapani, a 26-year-old dropout who was a recovering addict with no tech experience, founded one of the hottest startups in 2017. Ray's company was endorsed by major credit card companies, celebs like DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather, and appointed a Harvard-educated CEO. It was gonna be the next big thing, until it wasn't, because the entire company was one big lie. I'm excited to let you know that all episodes of Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, are available and 100% ad-free exclusively with the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, so you can binge the entire season. So don't wait. Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, starting on April 22nd on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Since you brought up the symbiosis, do we think that, how do you imagine the cyborg future? The idea of enhanced physical human beings in some sort of symbiotic relationship with a mechanical being.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable that we'll have connections directly from our brain to the internet and so forth, where, you know, right now we Google something, we have to consume it through our eyes and read it and kind of think about it that way. I think we'll have more direct connections to the internet so that we can just ask a question in our mind and we have an answer instantly, and that knowledge is just there. So there's already people developing this type of thing, and they're in early stages of testing it and so forth. I mean, I think, you know, real working prototypes are probably still at least a decade off or maybe 2 decades off.
Right.
But I think that's a reality that will, you know, there'll be such a economic incentive for us to do that, that it's going to happen.
We're talking with Greg Kaiser, what will happen when machines are smarter than humans? Will we need to change everything we know about how we interact with computers and online? So back to the idea of investments, how can we plan on it, either treating our own investments in positive or ways in which we could fight this if we were against it?
I would say my perspective is that if we want to try to increase the likelihood it's beneficial, we can try to fix a lot of the things about the way we run our world, that so that when this super intelligent entity comes, you can be like, oh, look, we're all happy and good. We're being good citizens to each other and to nature and so forth. So, and that's kind of the perspective I take. And so the investments the investments that I've made and the investments I'm looking into, they're not all in technology. I mean, really the only technology one is blockchains.
Right. Yep. And you're going to have to explain blockchain for some people, because I have to all the time, and my son has a master's degree, you know, studying it for different reasons, and I still find it very confusing. So I'm not surprised if other people do too. How do you see blockchain playing into this?
Well, I think the main thing is, you know, we have all this data that corporations have, that governments have, that we have, that Facebook has, et cetera. All this data about how the world runs, it may be, you know, how a turnip gets from Iowa to California. It might be how a pair of shoes gets from China to New York. But we have all this data about how our world works, and it's in all these different silos and all these different corporate systems and so forth. And so the idea is that, in my opinion, the most powerful potential use of blockchains is for that supply chain stuff to become much more transparent, so that we have a much better sense of the kind of the impact of our actions and where things are coming from and so forth, so that we're and also transparency about government spending and so forth. So when subsidies are given to agriculture, when subsidies are given to all these different industries and so forth, what are those subsidies? How are they happening? And put them out kind of so that everything is out in the sunlight, and also easy to comprehend and so forth. And I think that's the power of blockchains is for transparency across all of our systems.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi, I'm Johnny B. Goode, host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon, which dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, Centratech, and explores how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed. Ray Trapani, a 26-year-old dropout who was a recovering addict with no tech experience, founded one of the hottest startups in 2017. Ray's company was endorsed by major credit card companies, celebs like DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather, and appointed a Harvard-educated CEO. It was going to be the next big thing, until it wasn't, because the entire company was one big lie. I'm excited to let you know that all episodes of Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon, are available and 100% ad-free exclusively with the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, so you can binge the entire season. So don't wait. Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, starting on April 22nd on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, that concept, the blockchain concept, also means that it is a decentralization of authority and accountants, so that there will be different systems, different accounting systems, right? So that it's not just one central bank, for example, that's keeping track of a transaction. It's every bank at the same time.
Sorry, exactly. Yeah, I mean, if you think about money and the fact that Bitcoin is now money, and it's competing with U.S. dollar and it's competing with other things, and it's a completely different system. You know, it's code. The how it works is encoded into the software, as opposed to being something that you know, happens behind the scenes in terms of supply of the currency and so forth. And that's pretty much the same for blockchains in general.
Yeah, and so this idea, too, that the accountability would not be left up to one place is or one proprietary system, that the accountability for, say, a Bitcoin would be so diffused around all these different places that it would be impossible to do, or, you know, famous last words, but theoretically impossible to defraud a system because there'd be so many observers simultaneously to a kind of to the transactions that happen in a blockchain.
Exactly. And that's simply before blockchains, that type of thing simply wasn't possible.
And this is interesting because a lot of people think of Bitcoin and they go, oh, well, I don't want to put my money in a Bitcoin because all it takes is one hacker And once that hacker gets into the system, they can deposit my bitcoins, my theoretical money, into their theoretical bank account, and I'll never know what happened. But that actually can't happen. Or at least, I believe it's been proven so far that it can't happen with blockchain.
Exactly. I mean, the biggest blockchains have not been hacked. Bitcoin definitely hasn't been hacked. Ethereum has not. The problem is that there's this, you're essentially, your wallet is your private key, is a string of numbers, and where you store that wallet can be hackable, but it can't be hacked on a systemic level. In other words, you know, if you look at all the things that happened with Target and so forth, where all these millions of credit cards were stolen, that can't happen. Because you'd have to hack into a million computers at the same time to make that happen.
So that's because each one of the computers would have a bit of the information and not all of it.
Exactly.
Right. That's the interesting thing about blockchain, and that's where the block and the chain comes into it. That's why you know here you had I hate to pick on Target, but let's say the a Target breach is that you essentially had all of these numbers, all of these credit cards, all of these names, all of these passwords stacked up neatly in a cyber vault somewhere, just waiting for somebody to come by and drill into it and take it out, and they did. So it was just waiting for them, essentially, in piles of well-organized data that thieves were able to monetize. And that's what's not possible with the blockchain. And that's why I think that's interesting when we talk about the possibility of smart machines, though. Is it possible that we could use that same blockchain concept so that not any one machine, and again, I'm using the machine sort of in a loose sense, but not any one cyber entity knew everything, that it only had part of the story of the picture, so it could never do what, say, a hacker did to get numbers from Target.
Exactly, yes, and I believe that will be key to, I think it's key to superintelligence arising in the first place, but also for increasing the likelihood that they are beneficial.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hi, I'm Johnny B. Good, host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon, which dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, Centratech, and explores how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed. Ray Trapani, a 26-year-old dropout who was a recovering addict with no tech experience, founded one of the hottest startups in 2017. Ray's company was endorsed by major credit card companies, celebs like DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather, and appointed a Harvard-educated CEO. It was gonna be the next big thing, until it wasn't, because the entire company was one big lie. I'm excited to let you know that all episodes of Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon, are available and 100% ad-free exclusively with the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, so you can binge the entire season. So don't wait. Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.